News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
Kevin McPartlin is with us. He is the Chief Executive of Fuels for Ireland, and obviously his remit is one that has been under a lot of attention recently as fuel prices have soared at the pump and at the delivery for home heating oil. Now, there's been government intervention since then, Kevin, to try to alleviate some of the pressures. How effective has it been?
Well, I think the interventions in terms of road transport fuel were effective. They were passed on very quickly to consumers. However, the commodity prices have continued to increase, and I'm not sure whether if this continues for very much longer, they will be seen as being adequate. I certainly don't think they were adequate in relation to home heating oil and ag diesel. I mean, a couple of cent really isn't making a huge difference when people's home heating oil has increased by almost a euro a litre.
And now, is that because with home heating oil, the government taxation is a lower component of the total cost and therefore they have less scope?
It is. And they will argue that they have very, very limited scope. They will say that they can't touch the carbon tax because we have a derogation from a European scheme, ETS2, based on us having the carbon tax, and they will say that they can't touch VAT. However, the Spanish managed to change the VAT rates on their fuel last week without, or either they overcame these European obstacles, or those European obstacles aren't as onerous as the government would have us believe. I think it's crazy to think that if you live where I live in suburban Dublin and on the gas grid, you can pay, you do pay 9% VAT to heat your home. But yet, if I think of my family in North Cork, they're all paying 13.5% VAT because the VAT on home heating oil is higher than that for gas.
Although one assumes the government bet is that they're looking at it saying, well, we're already into April, weather is going to be improving, people's need to consume home heating oil is going to be relatively limited. We can get away with this through until autumn.
I'm not sure it's a safe bet. I wouldn't take it. People still need hot water. Even if we have the hottest summer on record, they're still going to need hot water. So oil is still going to be needed. It's used in lower volumes, obviously, than it is in winter, but it's still needed.
Give me your prediction and what the industry is thinking in relation to, now I know it's silver, it's crystal ball territory, but nonetheless, in relation to overall oil prices, what's the expectation? Is there anything that can be done to further alleviate the global shock?
Well, if you'd like Saturday's lotto numbers as well, I'll give you those too. Look, I'm being flippant, but in reality, we have to look at what we know now. So rather than speculate, let's look at what we know now. The prices are very high now because there is a squeeze on supply. So when we talk about security of supply, we need to talk about it in two different areas. Can we get the fuel and can we afford it? Currently, we can get it. We don't have a problem there. We can get the fuel, but the prices are what's making a difference on global markets. If Donald Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu and the Supreme Leader of Iran kissed and made up at lunchtime today, we would still have a problem going on for a long period of time, months, possibly years.
Because, why?
Because 5 to 10% of the world's global refining capacity has been impacted by the war. So all of these, you know, every day you hear an attack on a refinery or a terminal or whatever, that's adding up to 5 to 10%, depending on who
as in you're talking pipes and machinery has been blown up and somebody has to go rebuild it.
And refineries, most particularly. And refineries are not things that you can bring Claire's power tools in this afternoon and fix quickly. They take a long time. The standard is exceptionally high because it's obviously a very high risk endeavor. So we are going to have the impact of this for a long period of time. But the key thing is security of supply. We can get the fuel. We have very resilient, robust supply chains. There's been a lot of talk in the last few days about rationing and all these sorts of things. I don't see that as something which is likely. It's absolutely prudent that we prepare in case things get a lot worse, but I don't think that's likely.
Now, where are we in the pecking order? If, and I accept your caveat that it may not be likely, but if we end up in a position where supply becomes challenging, do we find ourselves the runt of the litter compared to other bigger countries?
I think if we're in that situation, and I'm really wary of the language I use here, because I recognise that high fuel prices are really hurting people. But Ireland is a wealthy country. We're in a far better situation than a lot of others, because for at least a period of time, cash will be king. If we can afford it, we can get it. If it gets really, really bad, then you get into sort of questions of global justice. And is that fair? If I was the head of the fuel industry in Uganda, I may take a different view to this. So if it were to get very, very serious and we go on for a long period of time, then maybe you'd have to say, well, price can't just be the deciding factor.
Now, I realise, again, there are a series of things that may be politically reprehensible to consider. But just, are there other sources of fuel around the world that could alleviate the cost pressures? For instance, is Russia looking at this thinking eventually they'll lift the sanctions and we'll be able to sell back into Europe and the States? Are there other Gulf states that have the capacity to release supply?
So there's two elements. So the sanctions against Russia, I don't see moving. You have a couple of states that are still dealing with Russia. They're getting it at a lower price, but they're taking all the fuel that they can get. There's been some efforts by unscrupulous traders to try and get round sanctions, and that's been really managed, I think, pretty well. I don't think it's likely that there's going to be any change there, because they will still be able to sell their fuel to the people who are buying it now. Could Middle Eastern states increase their production? I don't think so, because, you know, this has been going on now for 4 weeks. Any increased capacity has already come onto the market. I'm not really sure that that's available to us.
Lastly, a lot of questions around America's capacity to be self-sufficient in oil. My understanding is that America is self-sufficient in light oil, but not in heavy crude, and therefore still has to import some. Is that right?
Exactly. The nature of this business is that nobody has everything they need. And even if America was self-sufficient for oil, they would still be subject to the global markets, because if Europe or the Far East was prepared to pay more for the fuel, then the companies based in America who are refining there will just export it.
So if market price goes up globally, they will look at that and say, we will use that to access profits for what we can produce at home.
Trade is going to trade.
Kevin, thank you very much. That is Kevin McPartland, who is Chief Executive of Fuels for Ireland.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.